Next week we do
I will call upon your name.
everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to Ascend Church. And stand with us as we praise the Lord's name. Amen. Put your hands together on this one. Everybody have a good week.
Good.
The weather's been so nice. I've been out enjoying the weather. Probably ruining my skin, but enjoying the weather and getting on those boats. I love them. Floats and boats. My favorite. I do. I love to float and boat. All the things that you have to be grateful for in life this week, all the good things that have happened to you, and just start kind of thinking about those things, you know, because that'll make things good, give you a positive outlook for today.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Tell someone nearby, it's great to see you in church. Glad you're here. How many of you know that we start out our service with a time of praise and a time of worship? And I was reading here in Psalm 66, I think it was yesterday, and it says this in Psalm 66, it says, "Everyone, everywhere, lift up your joyful shout to God." Everyone, everywhere, lift up your joyful shout to God. Say, that means me. Sing your songs, tune to His glory, tell the world how wonderful He is, for He is the awe-inspiring God, great and glorious in power, mighty in miracles. You cause your enemies to tremble. No wonder they all surrender and bow before you. All the earth will bow down to worship. All the earth will sing your glories forever. The Bible says that the whole earth, everyone everywhere, is to shout, a joyful shout unto the Lord. We come here today to give God praise because He is good. We're thankful for all His miracles. Has the Lord done anything good in your life? Is there any good thing you can say, Lord, I'm so thankful You rescued me, You delivered me, You healed me, You provided for me, You protected me, You showed me favor. That's what we You know, we think about the goodness of God right now, and we give Him praise. I want you to sing with us today. Lift your voice, clap your hands, lift your hands. Give God your best praise today. Father, we come before You with worship. We come before You with praise. We are glad to be in Your house. We are glad to be in Your presence. We are thankful for Your mighty miracles. We are thankful, Lord, for Your goodness. We know that every good thing in our life comes from You. And we lift our voice with a joyful shout to give praise to our God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you agree with that, come on, shout amen, somebody. Put your hands together. Give God some praise today. Put your hands together and give Him praise. We worship You.
before the sun. Your glory is eternal, never stops. Give it all you got. Your glory, keep singing. No, there is no other, no one like you. Lord, over all, there's nobody like you, no one beside you.
Like no wildest What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's give Him praise today. What a wonderful name. What a powerful name. He has no rival, no equal. There's nobody like Jesus. The Bible says that He has been given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will declare that He is Lord. We declare it today, don't we? We declare, Jesus, You are Lord in this place. You are Lord in our life. You are Lord of every circumstance. You are Lord of all the earth. We lift up the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen, church. Well, listen, as we, before we go into our last song, we're doing a new song this morning, and it's called Lord Send Revival. And it really is like a prayer. It's like a declaration. How many of you believe? I believe that the answer to every problem we face in America is for a revival, for the power of God to spread across this nation, for people to be transformed through the power of Jesus. Amen? And so I want to encourage you to sing this song. I know it's new, but sing it along with us and let's declare it. Lord, we need a revival across America. I heard this week someone, Pam Sayeg, sent me an email to say that a lot of people are calling for us to fast and pray. I'm kind of surprised that it hasn't been more calls to fast and pray, considering everything that's going on. And now that, you know, there's been a surge in some places with this virus, and some things are shutting down again. And then, of course, with the riots that have happened and just everything that's going on, I believe there's no better time for us to fast and pray than right now. So I want to encourage you to this week. There's people all over this country that are going to be praying and fasting. And I want to encourage you to take time this week and maybe take a day or two and fast and pray. Let's pray for America. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for God to move. And right now, we have our prayer and our praise time. And if you need prayer, you know, as we sang it earlier about the name of Jesus is so powerful. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were going to the temple on their way to pray, as a matter of coincidence. They were on their way to pray. And they saw a crippled man, and he was sitting by the gate, beautiful. And he was begging for, you know, was asking for money. And Peter said to him, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand and lifted him up. And the Bible says immediately his feet and his ankle, his legs received strength. And he jumped up and he started jumping and leaping. He went with them into the temple, leaping and praising God. What healed that man? The name of Jesus. The power of the name of Jesus. When I pray for people for healing, I am confident in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says, in my name, Jesus said, you will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. In my name, you'll cast out demons. Very often people are troubled and people have difficulties and all kind of issues because the enemy is attacking them. And so often when you pray, you take the name of Jesus and you just break every bondage, every chain, every addiction. It's the power of the name of Jesus. And that name has been given to us. Jesus has given us His name. He said, whatever you bind in my name will be bound. When you resist the devil in my name, he will flee. We have power and authority in the name of Jesus. And I want to encourage you, if you need prayer this morning, please don't feel shy. Jesus said, my house will be called the house of prayer. And we want to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, Jesus is still the healer. If you're struggling with some kind of addiction, depression, Let me tell you, the Lord, the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus will set you free. Whatever it is, maybe you have a financial crisis or financial difficult challenge. Let me tell you, the Bible says, my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you to come forward. If you need prayer this morning, we're here to pray with you. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come and help me. I also want to mention that we have Spanish translation available now. And if you need a Spanish translation, you need to please go into the lobby real quick right now and get a headset, a little receiver and headset, because when I start preaching, Eva's going to be translating to Spanish. So if you know anyone here who needs Spanish translation, please go into the lobby right now. And just to let you know, if you know people that don't speak English or Spanish, now you can invite them to church. They can enjoy the service. Amen. So thank you. If you need prayer, come on down and pray. Let's sing this song out together, Lord. Send revival. Father, we pray. We pray for America right now. We pray, Lord, that you would send a revival across this nation. We pray, Lord, that you would move by your Spirit in the name of Jesus, that lives would be transformed.
Peace,
that cities
like
would be
river,
transformed in
watch
Jesus' name.
Over me. Immerse me in water deep as the sea. Hide me in your love, your healing embrace. Peace like a river, wash over me. As I worship your majesty, worship your holy name, Jesus, my everything. All that I am is yours. Come, Holy Spirit. what you're doing again.
Come on, sing it, guys.
Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now. A move of your spirit, heaven break out. Come now in power, cover this land. Like you've done it before, what you do.
I love to hear your voices because there's power in unity. You know, there was God is with each one of us, but when we gather together, you see it all throughout the Word, right through the Old Testament and the New. When they gathered, there was something special that took place. And with your voices crying out with the same one voice, calling out, God, let your hand be upon this nation. God, let your revival rise within our lives and around us. Amen. I love it. Welcome to Ascend Church. How good to see you this morning. Won't you turn and greet someone? Tell them how good it is to see them. Thank you. Good to see you in church this morning. Welcome, welcome to those that are watching on Facebook Live, watching on our app, watching on the website, YouTube. We're glad you've joined us. You know, it's it used to be church was the only place to come and hear a message, and now there's so many different ways, and we're glad that you're watching and taking part in the service as well today. But I'm so thankful to be right here in the building, worshiping together with you. So glad to see you. Every week we see a few faces we haven't seen for a couple of months maybe. And it's good to see you. Amen. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. We love having visitors in our church. And we don't want to embarrass you, but we want to just honor you right where you are. So if you are here for the first time, would you just wave your hand that we can welcome you? Anyone here for the first time, God bless you. Come on, family. Back me up here. Good to see you. Nice to see you. Wonderful. How nice to have two sons with you, Carol. How about that? Wonderful. And what our ushers will do, if they didn't do it already, anyone who raised their hand for the first time, they should have given you a visitor pack. If you didn't get it, just wave your hand. We ask you to just take a moment and fill out the guest card. And that just gives Pastor Steve an opportunity to give you a call or text you, just find out how you enjoyed the service, if we can be of any assistance in any way. So thank you for filling that out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket. You can just drop that card in. It's a way to get to us. Are you waiting for a card? Over here, Moises.
Thank you. Thank you, Rox Roy, all our handsome ushers. Wonderful. Well, we're so glad at Ascend Church, we have four main purposes, and I like to just reiterate them for those who are new, for those who just want to remember what we're all about. The first one is we want you to know God. You know, there are people that are far from God, and we want them to come to know God. But then even us as believers, even if it's been a long time, we want you to engage in a relationship with Him. You know, that's what Christianity is all about. It's all about relationship. And so you know what it's like even in a marriage or in a family. The more you know somebody, the closer you can walk with them. The more you know, sometimes we find ourselves, we think the same thing at the same time. Because we know, I know the way Pastor Steve thinks, he knows the way I think. And so the more we begin to know God, the more we get in tune. The more we hear His voice, the more we're led and directed by Him. Amen. So that's our first purpose, is to help each one of us to know God more. Second of all, to find freedom in every area of life. Thirdly, to discover your purpose. You know, there's something in the Word of God called the body of Christ. It's not about a minister and a congregation. It's about a body that is all busy in the work of God, that is all has a purpose. And God wants each one of us to know our purpose. And lastly, we want you to be able to make a difference in your life. And we can do that collectively even better than we can do it individually. Amen. And so that's the four main purposes of our church. As I said today, we are on social media. We have far more people watch us online, and that grows every week. And we're really glad about that. And I found that we were talking about this. Where I grew up in South Africa, we had neighbors when I was perhaps 5, 6 years old. And I've seen for the last 2 weeks, one of the girls that was a neighbor of mine tune into Facebook Live. So Jackie, if you're watching, I noticed, right? And so because I shared that, that reached out to people that perhaps I'll never again see in my life, but I was able to reach out. So go ahead and share that on social media. We appreciate it, and we're ready for you. Thanks. It's so funny. We were going to have some family pictures today, and so everybody's like, what color should we wear? So we said, well, let's just do solid colors, anything neutral. Well, everybody came downstairs in solid black.
Well, we are so glad to have with us today, we have my oldest daughter, Robin, and her husband, Brian, and their four kids visiting us from California. Would you stand up for a second? We're so glad you're here with us today, Robin. It's Brian and Robin. And we got Emma, our oldest grandchild, Emma, who's 11. And then Jude is 9. And then Jax is 6. And then Jet is 3. We're so glad to have Nadine, my second daughter, and Brady. They're here every Sunday. And also,
praise God for that.
Praise God for that. And we have Luke and my son and Francesca. There's Francesca with Olivia. That's our newest grandchild. She's just a year. And Roman. Roman's 3. He's on the front. So we're so glad to hear. My youngest daughter, Courtney, was supposed to be here Friday with her husband, Sam. The last minute, they had to change plans because she found out that when she returned to California, she'd have to spend 2 weeks in quarantine. And she got a whole lot of meetings lined up, and she just couldn't do that. So we were all very disappointed. We had our family pictures lined up for today. But praise the Lord, she said she's going to come and visit us in September. But we're so glad to have all of our kids staying at our house. And we've got grandkids all over the house. And I've got toys everywhere you can imagine. I've got dinosaurs and trucks and all kinds of things. But we love it. So praise God. And I want to say welcome to everyone watching us online. We have people watching from all over the world. And we're so glad that you joined us. And I believe you're going to be greatly blessed today. Are you ready for God's word this morning? I feel like the Lord's put a word in my heart for you. And so let's just pray and get it before we get into God's word. Father, we thank you that you are good, Lord, and you are faithful, and you are kind, and you are loving. We thank you, Lord, that you guide us, you protect us, you provide for us. We thank you, Father, for your word today. And Lord, I thank you that you help me and anoint me to speak your word, and that you carry your word to every person's heart and mind, bringing faith, bringing understanding, bringing revelation, removing doubt, unbelief in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that our faith rises up stronger than ever before, Father, that we walk out of here with unstoppable faith in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Say, I have unstoppable faith. That's what I want to speak to you about today, is unstoppable faith. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. He said, you do well and you excel in every respect in unstoppable faith. He said to them that they had an unstoppable faith. You know, there is a faith that is unstoppable, and it makes you unstoppable. Because Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 23, why do you say, if I can, anything is possible for someone who has faith? Anything is possible for someone who has unstoppable faith. The Bible says anything is possible when you have this unstoppable kind of faith, because faith is what moves God to act in your life. Faith is what receives from God. When you read in Hebrews chapter 11, you find it talks about the heroes of faith and all the amazing things that they accomplished because they had this unstoppable kind of faith. It says in verse 5, by faith, Enoch, he was taken away so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The Bible says that Enoch, man, he was raptured out of here. He never saw death. And it says in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now listen, faith must be really important for us to learn and understand, because it's impossible to please God without it. You cannot please God unless you are living and walking by faith. Now, some people, I've heard people say to me, well, Pastor Steve, I want to learn more about my faith. And what they really mean is their religion or their denomination. I'm not talking about learning about your faith. I want to learn more about the Catholic faith. I want to learn more about the Protestant faith. I want to learn more about the Islamic faith. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about having faith in God and having faith in the Word of God. I'm talking about living your life with confidence that the Lord is with you, for you, and that He'll do everything He promised in His Word. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about. Because you see, God and His Word are one. And faith is simply believing what God said in His Word. That's what it all comes down to. If you're going to live by faith, you have to be willing to believe what God said in His Word. It goes on in Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Do you know God told Noah to build an ark? And do you know when he told Noah to build an ark? Do you know it had never rained on the earth? Do you know no one had ever seen rain? You read it in Genesis. It says a mist came up from the ground and watered the earth. They'd never seen rain. And God says, listen, go build an ark because it's going to rain. There's going to be a flood. People never even seen. They never knew what it was. That's what it takes to obey God and do something when no one's even seen it before. Verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Do you know when God called Abraham to go to the promised land, Abraham had no idea where it was. God said, go, and he went. And the Lord led him as he went. Verse 11 says, by faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who promised. Sarah had a baby. Sarah was Abraham's wife. She had a baby. She was 90 years old, I think it was. She was 90 years old, right? And she had a baby. In verse 24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Do you know that sin has pleasure? The problem is it doesn't last long. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. It says, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea on dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Do you know that passing through that Red Sea was an act of faith? Do you know that Moses forsaking Egypt and following after the God's plan for his life was an act of faith? It says in verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. All these great things that happened was because of their faith in God. It says in verse 32, and what more could I say to convince you? For there is not enough time to tell you of the faith of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephunneh, of David, of Samuel, and of the prophets. It says, through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms. They established true justice. Their faith fastened onto their promises and pulled them into reality. It was faith that shut the mouth of the lions when Daniel was thrown in that lion's den. It was faith that shut the mouth of the lions. It says it was faith that put out the raging fire and caused many to escape certain death by the sword. In their weakness, their faith imparted power to make them strong. Faith sparked courage within them, and they became mighty warriors in battle, pulling armies from another realm into battle array. It's talking about their armies of God. Faith-filled women saw their dead children raised in resurrection power. All these things happened because they had this unstoppable kind of faith, family. And let me tell you, you too can have this unstoppable kind of faith. You can walk in a faith that where you cannot be stopped. You cannot be defeated. No matter what comes against you, you rise above it with this unstoppable faith. Now, if there's an unstoppable faith, then there must be a faith that can be stopped. And you know, the enemy is going to try and stop your faith. Can I tell you right now that what the enemy is interested more than anything in your life is stealing your faith? He doesn't want you to believe God. He doesn't want you to follow Jesus. He doesn't want you to believe the Word of God. So the enemy will do everything he can to try and stop your faith. How can you have this unstoppable kind of faith? You got to understand there are enemies to your faith, and that these enemies are going to try and stop your faith if you let them. And so when you understand what the enemies are to your faith, then you can avoid them and you can eliminate those enemies from stopping your faith. And that's what I really want to speak to you about today, is what are the things that will stop your faith so that you can avoid and eliminate those things in your life. Amen? So I've got six things. Are you ready for this? If you're following with a handout, you've got to fill these in. Did everyone get that little Sunday handout when you came in today with the notes? You've got to fill in the points, okay? There's a little work involved here. So number one, the first thing that will stop your faith is fear and worry will stop your faith. Now, I put fear and worry together because fear and worry are closely related. Really, fear and worry go together. What is fear? Well, I looked it up. The word fear means a feeling of anxiety concerning the outcome of something or the safety and well-being of someone. It's a feeling of dread or uneasiness. That's fear. And some synonyms for fear, in other words, other words that you can use that mean the same thing as fear, is panic, agitation, trepidation, dread, distress, worry, nervousness, apprehension. That's all part of fear. And one time, a man came to Jesus, and his name was Jairus, and he asked Jesus to come and heal his young daughter, who was 12 years old. She was very sick. She was at the point of death. And Jesus agreed immediately to go with him. But on the way to Jairus' house, Jesus got delayed because there was a woman who wanted healing from Jesus. She had a bleeding disorder. The Bible says she had an issue of blood for 12 years. She'd had this bleeding disorder. She'd been to many, many doctors, but none of them could help her. And one day she heard about Jesus' healing power. And she said to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. If I can just touch his clothing, I'll be healed. She had this unstoppable kind of faith. And the Bible says that she pressed through the crowd to get to Jesus, because wherever Jesus went, there was always a crowd around him. And the moment she touched his robe, she was instantly healed. Jesus felt the power go out of him, and he turned around and he said, who touched me? And the disciples, the Bible says in Mark 5:33, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, she came and she fell down before Jesus and she told him the whole truth. She told him what happened. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith made you well. Your faith made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Right about that time, the people came from Jairus' house and they told him, don't trouble the master anymore, because your daughter just died. Jesus doesn't have to come. It's too late. Let me tell you, it's never too late with God. The Bible says in verse 36 of Mark chapter 5, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to Jairus, who was the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Only believe. The contemporary English version says, don't worry. Just have faith. The Living Bible says Jesus ignored their comments and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just trust me. And the Amplified Bible says, overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be seized with alarm and seized with fear, keep on believing. And the Passion Bible says Jesus refused to listen to what they were told and said to the Jewish official, don't yield to fear. Is that my grandbaby? It's not our first child to be carried screaming from church. That's a joke. Anyway, it says here, Jesus said, don't yield. He said, don't yield to fear. All you need to do is keep on believing. Now, here's what I want you to see. You've got a choice. You can't believe and be in fear at the same time. You can't worry and believe God and be in faith at the same time. You've got to choose one or the other. Jesus said, don't yield to fear. Why? Because fear will stop your faith. When fear comes to you, you've got to resist it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, God will never give you the spirit of fear. But the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power and love and self-control. You got to understand this, that fear is a spirit. God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. When fear tries to come at you, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spirit. And you got to take authority over fear and you got to resist it. One time when I was in the army, because I don't know if you know this, but I'm a lethally trained fighting machine. I was in the army, and my wife was at home with the two kids. She was pregnant with Luke, I think, and she was at home alone. And one day she came home, and there were muddy footprints going down the passage. Someone had been in the house. And so that night, she had this tremendous fear came upon her. And she just turned and she said, fear, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. And just like that fear just went away, and the peace of God came upon her. See, the Bible says in James 4 verse 7, stand up to the devil and resist him and he will turn and run away from you. Do you know, say, I got authority to resist the devil. Say, when fear comes to me, I can resist it and it'll leave me. If you ever have a fear try and come on you, you just simply say, fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus, and it'll go. Now, fear and worry go together. What is worry? The dictionary defines worry like this. Worry is to allow your mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles, or to be anxious, or to agonize, to overthink, to panic, to lose sleep, to get worked up, to get stressed out, to torment yourself, a state of uncertainty over actual or potential problems. See, sometimes we worry about things that haven't even happened yet and never will happen, and we sometimes spend time worrying over something that's never going to happen in any case. The Bible says in Luke 8, verse 14, Jesus said, when he was talking about the parable of the sower, He said the seed fell among the thorns. It represents those who listen and believe God's words, but whose faith afterward is choked out by worry. Do you know that worry will choke your faith? I said worry will choke your faith. It says their faith was choked out by worry and riches and the responsibilities and pleasures of life. Worry will choke your faith if you let it. You can't worry and have strong faith at the same time. The Bible says this about Abraham. Abraham's called the father of our faith. And the Bible says in Romans 4:19, because his faith was so strong, he didn't worry about the fact that he was too old to be a father at the age of 100 and that Sarah, his wife, was 90. She was much too old to have a baby. The reason that Abraham's faith was so strong is he refused to allow worry. Say amen, somebody. When Paul the apostle was arrested and he was sent to Rome to appear before Caesar, the Lord appeared to Paul and the Lord spoke to him. In Acts 23, verse 11, that night the Lord stood beside Paul and said, what did the Lord say to Paul? Don't worry. Don't worry, Paul. Just as you have told the people about me here in Jerusalem, so you must in Rome. In other words, it was God's plan for Paul to go to Rome, be arrested and stand before Caesar so he could declare the gospel. And the Lord said to him, don't worry. What did Jesus say about worry? Jesus spoke a lot about worry. In Luke chapter 12, in verse 6, he said, what is the value of your soul to God? Could your worth be defined by an amount of money? God doesn't abandon or forget even the small sparrow that he has made. How then could he forget and abandon you? What about the seemingly minor issues of your life? Do they matter to God? Of course they do. Do you know that the smallest little issue of your life matters to God? So you never need to worry. Say, I never need to worry. For you are more valuable to God than anything else in this world. Say, I'm more valuable to God than anything in the world. Verse 22, in Luke 12 to 22, Jesus taught his disciples. He said, listen to me. Never let anxiety enter your heart. Never worry about any of your needs, such as food or clothing. For your life is infinitely more than food or the clothing that you wear. Take the carefree birds as your example. Do you ever see them worry? They don't even grow their own food. They don't put it into a storehouse for later on. Yet God takes care of every one of them, feeding each of them from his love and goodness. Isn't your life more precious to God than a bird? Be carefree in the care of God. Does worry add anything to your life? Can it add 1 year, even one day? So if worrying adds nothing, but actually subtracts from your life, why would you worry about God's care of you? I repeat it. I repeat it, Jesus said. Just in case you didn't get it, the last 10 verses, I'm going to say it again. Don't let worry enter your life. Live above the anxious cares about your personal needs. People everywhere seem to worry about making a living, but your Heavenly Father knows your every need and He will take care of you. Say, thank you, Lord. I never need to worry. You know my every need and you will take care of me. In verse 31, it says, each and every day He will supply your needs as you seek His kingdom passionately above all else. So don't ever be afraid. Dearest friends, your loving Father joyously gives you His kingdom realm with all of its promises. What do you do when worry comes at you? Because we all get tempted to worry, right? Am I the only one? We all get tempted to worry, don't we? So what do you do? Philippians 4 verse 6 tells us what to do. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. It says, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. The Passion Bible says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. And 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, pour out all your worries and stress upon Him and leave them there, for He always tenderly cares for you. If you want to have an unstoppable kind of faith, you must not give place to fear and you must not give place to worry in your life, because fear and worry will stop your faith. Number two, the second thing that will stop your faith is doubt will stop your faith. And the dictionary defines doubt as a feeling of uncertainty or a lack of conviction or a lack of trust, or it means to disbelieve a person or their word, to question the truth of something, or to be of two minds. Doubt is to be of two minds, to question a person's word, to not have confidence, to not trust a person's word. Some synonyms, other words that you can use that mean the same thing as doubt is to disbelieve, to distrust, to question, to be unsure, to be confused, or to waver. Now, one time Jesus told these disciples to get in a boat and go to the other side of the lake, and he went up into the mountain, into the hills to pray. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 14, but the disciples who were now in the middle of the lake, they ran into trouble, for their boat was tossed about by the high winds and by the heavy seas. They ran into a storm. About 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the waves. When the disciples saw him walking on top of the waves, they were terrified and they screamed out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus said, "Be brave, don't be afraid, because I am here." Peter shouted out, "Lord, if it's you, then have me come join you on the water." So Jesus said, "Come join me." And Peter stepped out of the boat onto the water, began walking toward Jesus. But when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened. He allowed fear, and he started to sink. "Save me, Lord," he cried out. The Bible says in the New Living Translation, when he saw the strong wind and when he saw the waves, Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and he lifted him up and he said, "What little faith you have, why would you let doubt win? Why would you let doubt win?" You see, there's a fight of faith between trusting God and believing God, having confidence in God, and this doubt will try and come to make you unsure, to make you waver. It says in verse 32, at that very moment, they both stepped into the boat, the raging wind ceased. And then all the disciples crouched down before him and they worshiped Jesus and they said in adoration, "You truly are the Son of God." If you want to have an unstoppable faith, you can't let doubt win. Say, "I'm not going to let doubt win." Romans 4 verse 20 says, Abraham never doubted. He believed God and he praised God for this blessing before it even happened. Abraham had unstoppable faith. Nothing stopped Abraham from believing God's word, God's promise. Jesus demonstrated unstoppable faith. In Matthew 21, verse 18, it says, in the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry, and he noticed a fig tree beside the road, and he went over to see if there were any figs on the tree, but there were only leaves. And then he said to the tree, "May you never bear fruit again." And immediately the fig tree withered up. The disciples were amazed when they saw it and they said, "How did this fig tree wither up so quickly?" Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith and you don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and be thrown in the sea,' and it will happen." The Message Bible says, if you embrace this kingdom life and don't doubt God, you'll not only do minor feats like I did to the fig tree, but you'll triumph over huge obstacles. Do you know that your faith, when you have this unstoppable faith, there's no obstacle that you cannot overcome. There's no mountain that you cannot see moved out of your life. There's no need that God cannot meet in your life when you have this unstoppable faith. Mark's gospel says it like this in Mark 11, verse 22. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you only have faith in God, this is the absolute truth. You can say to this Mount of Olives, 'Rise up and fall in the Mediterranean,' and your command will be obeyed. All that is required is that you really believe and have no doubt." You see, doubt will stop your faith. Don't allow doubt to stop your faith. Unstoppable faith doesn't doubt. Unstoppable faith doesn't waver. Unstoppable faith is fully convinced. In James chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, doubts is like a wave of the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind." It says, "For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything that he asks for from God." The Bible says that if we doubt, if we waver, that we must not expect to receive anything from God. You got to be fully convinced, man. You got to not allow any doubt, no wavering, no hesitation. If God said it, that settles it, man. I believe it. God said it. Doesn't matter how it looks. I believe it. You know, people have said to me, well, Pastor Steve, are you worried about getting the coronavirus? I believe Psalm 91, verse 2 and 3, that declares he will protect me from every deadly disease. I am convinced about that. I have no fear and no worry and no concern about getting any sickness because he said he would protect me from every virus, every sickness, and that's enough. That settles it for me. How about you? See, you can't receive anything from God without faith. The Passion Bible says it like this, James chapter 1, verse 6. Just make sure you ask, empowered by confident faith, without doubting that you will receive. For the ambivalent person believes one minute and doubts the next. And it says, being undecided makes you become like the rough seas driven and tossed by the wind. You're up one minute and tossed down the next minute. When you are half-hearted and wavering, it leaves you unstable. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord when you're in that condition? Let me tell you, doubt will stop your faith. And can I tell you what is the cure for doubt? Can I tell you the cure for worry? Can I tell you the cure for fear? Can I tell you how to get rid of fear, how to get rid of worry, and how to get rid of doubt? In Mark chapter 6, verse 5, it says, because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Now, this is talking about Jesus' hometown in Nazareth. When he went there, the Bible says he couldn't do any mighty miracles because they didn't believe. So what did he do? Then Jesus went from village to village teaching the people. When Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth, he couldn't do any miracles there because of their unbelief and because of their doubt. So what did he do? He went around teaching the word of God. Why did he do that? Because the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hearing God's word is the cure for unbelief. It's the cure for doubt. It's the cure for worry, and it's the cure for fear. The more you hear God's word, the more faith rises up in you, and fear goes, worry goes, doubt goes, unbelief goes, the more you fill your mind with the word of God. You see, today, as you're sitting here, and I'm preaching God's word to you, your faith is rising up. When you walk out of here, you have a greater confidence in God than you had when you came in. But here's the thing. You can't just hear God's word one time a week. You got to be filling your mind with the word of God every day. Every day. That's the cure. Someone said, Pastor Steve, I wish I had strong faith like so-and-so. I wish I had strong faith like you. Listen to God's word every day and you will. You go onto our mobile app. We've got a free mobile app. There's over 50 of my sermons on our mobile app. You can listen to a different sermon every day for 50 days. I promise you right now, you do that, your faith will grow. You getting something out of this? Number three, the third thing that will stop your faith is focusing on the problem and focusing on what your senses are telling you will stop your faith. In other words, focusing on what you see or what you hear or what you feel. We saw that when Peter started to sink, why did Peter sink? Because he looked at the waves and he looked at the wind. He allowed what his eyes saw to distract him from what Jesus had said. Jesus said, come on the water, man. He looked at the... How many of you know it makes no difference if it's a windy day? You can't walk on the water if it's calm. It's got no difference. There's no relevance. But when Peter looked at the wind and he looked at the wave, fear started to come. Abraham had this unstoppable faith because Abraham didn't focus on what his senses told him. Instead, he focused on what God promised, even though it looked impossible. In Romans 4, verse 19, it says, not being weak in faith, Abraham did not consider his own body. Already dead since he was about 100 years old. He didn't consider the deadness of Sarah, his wife's womb. He didn't consider those things. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Abraham didn't look at his body, because if he looked at his body would have said, listen, Abraham, there ain't no way you're having a baby. It ain't happening. His body would have said no. He didn't look at his body. He didn't consider that his wife was unable to have children. He just looked at what God said, and he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he said. The Message Bible says it like this. Abraham didn't focus on his own importance and say it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. It says he didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and he came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. Abraham had this unstoppable faith because he didn't let what he saw or what he felt stop him from believing what God said. Do you know the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 7, for we live by faith and not by what we see with our eyes. Say, I live by faith, not by what I see with my eyes. See, if you want to have this unstoppable faith, you can't allow what you see with your eyes to stop you from believing what God said. This is where a lot of people lose the victory, because they allow what their senses tell them to stop them from believing what God says. Well, Pastor Steve, I know that the Word of God says that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I've been healed, but I don't feel healed. It doesn't matter how you feel. Believe what God says and ignore your feelings. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen, the unseen realm is eternal. The things you see can change. It's just temporary. But the Word of God, which you cannot see, will never change. It's eternal. The New Living Bible says, we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. See, if you want to have unstoppable faith, you've got to be willing to ignore what your senses are telling you. Are you listening to me today? This is why 90% of Christians can't walk by faith, because they are so controlled by what they see and by what they feel. You've got to believe what God says. That's what Abraham did. Don't let your senses affect your faith. Amen? Amen. Sense knowledge is actually an enemy to your faith. Can I tell you that? Because when God says, the Word of God says in Philippians 4:19, my God will supply your needs. Then I look at my bank account. It don't look like it, Lord. Have you seen my bank account lately? It doesn't matter. My bank account can change every day. God's Word will never, ever change. It's the truth. People that have unstoppable faith, they believe the Word of God and they ignore what their senses tell them. They believe what God says no matter what they see, no matter what they feel, no matter what it looks like. They stand on God's Word. Yeah. Number four, let me tell you another thing that will stop your faith is when you speak the wrong words, or failing to speak will stop your faith. Jesus, his greatest lesson Jesus taught about faith was in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Do you notice that Jesus mentioned says three times in that verse? And he mentioned believing one time. Because let me tell you, very often the place where most of us miss it is we believe right, but we don't say the right thing. We believe God supplies our needs. We believe God's Word, but we don't say it. You see, what you say is your faith speaking. Your faith is released by your words. The woman that I mentioned earlier that came to Jesus, the woman that had the bleeding disorder for 12 years in Mark chapter 5, she'd been to every doctor. She said, if I can just touch his garment, I will be healed. She spoke out her faith. You see, if you want to have unstoppable faith, you must say what you're believing for. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And sickness is a part of the curse. I'm redeemed from sickness. I'm redeemed from coronavirus. Coronavirus got no right in my life. I have been redeemed from it. So have you. I'm redeemed from lack and poverty. Jesus took my poverty, and the Bible says that he became poor that I could be made rich. I have been redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Romans 10 verse 10 says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, faith works. This is how faith works. You believe God's word in your heart and you speak it out of your mouth. You say it out. That's God's law of faith. Confession precedes possession. In other words, you've got to say it before you possess it. Confession brings possession. You possess what you confess. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, we've got the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures. When it says, first I believed and then I spoke in faith, so we also first believe and then speak in faith. How many of you believe God supplies all your needs? How many believe it? Then you've got to say it. Say, my God supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory. Say this. Say, the Lord protects me from every disease. Amen. Say, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Jesus took my sickness. He redeemed me from sickness. Sickness, you have no place in my life. I resist sickness. You have to say it out of your mouth. Faith works by believing it and by speaking it. Unless you say it, your faith cannot work. And you must hold fast to your confession of faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 verse 14, let us hold fast our confession. Do you know what it means? Do you know why the Bible says hold fast to your confession? Because the enemy is going to try and pull it away from you. The enemy is going to, the enemy doesn't want you going around saying, my God supplies my needs, the Lord is with me, who can be against me? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I've been healed by the stripes of God. The devil don't want you speaking God's word, speaking your faith. He's going to try and take that confession away from you. You've got to hold on to it. Hebrews 10 verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He is faithful that promised. Many times people's faith is stopped because they fail to speak what they're believing for, or they don't hold fast to their confession of faith, or they say the wrong things. Are you with me? Oh, every flu season, I always get the flu. I'm always the first one to get the flu in my family. Always the first one every flu season. Then it comes along, they get the flu. I told you, didn't I? I told you I was going to be the flu. Yeah, you said it. You spoke it into being. That's right. Like when God told the Israelites, go take the promised land. They looked at the walled cities. They looked at the giants living there. They said, we can't take the land. God was displeased. God said to them in Numbers 14, 23, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. You need to be careful what comes out your mouth, because God hears everything you say. God hears everything you say. The only exception was Joshua and Caleb, because unlike everybody else, they didn't say we can't take the land. You know what they said? They said, let's go up at once. Let's possess the land. We're well able to conquer it. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. God's on our side. And they got what they said. 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb were right out front when they took the first city, Jericho, and the promised land. Caleb was out, 80 years old, man, running into battle, 80 years old. Let me tell you, your words are essential if you want unstoppable faith. Don't say, well, I'm afraid, Pastor Steve, I'm going to get coronavirus. I'm worried how I'm going to pay my bills. No, no, no. Rather say, the Lord is my healer. The Lord is my protector. The Lord is my provider. Jesus took my sickness. By His stripes I was healed. The Lord protects me from deadly disease. My God supplies all of my needs according to His riches. Rather say that. Number five, I'm almost done. Almost done. Number five. Fifth thing that will stop your faith is failing to act like God's word is true will stop your faith. James 2 verse 17 says, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, it's dead. Faith without action is dead. And in verse 26, it says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead also. Faith has got to have action, family. And really, faith is acting on what you believe. If I ask somebody, do you believe the Bible? They may say, oh, yes, Pastor Steve, I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I believe every word of the Bible. I believe the Bible, Pastor Steve. You sure about that? You mean the Bible is the Word of God? Oh, yes, the Bible is the Word of God. I believe it with all of my heart. Yes, absolutely, unequivocally, positively, I believe the Bible is God's Word. Then I asked them, do you tithe? Oh, I can't afford to tithe, Pastor Steve. I can't afford that. I thought you believed the Bible. You may believe the Bible, but you ain't operating in unstoppable faith in the Word of God, because otherwise you do what it says. If you want to walk in unstoppable faith, let me tell you, you got to be willing to believe and do what God says in His Word, no matter how things look, no matter what you see with your eyes, no matter what you feel with your senses, no matter what other people try and talk you out of it, you must say what God says and put action to your faith by doing what God says. Can you say amen, somebody? Do something to demonstrate your faith. Maybe you lost your job. Have you got your resume ready? Are you putting in applications and going for interviews? If you're believing for a baby, start preparing the nursery. When God sees your faith, that's when amazing things happen. In Scripture, there was a man who was paralyzed. He would just lie on his bed all day at home. But one day, he heard that Jesus was in town. And Jesus was at another house teaching people. So he convinced four of his friends to carry him on his bed over to that house. But when they arrived at the house, the place was so packed. It was so crowded, they couldn't get in. And they'd gone to great lengths to get their friend there. I'm sure they were tired. I'm sure, you know, they felt, what a letdown. They could have gotten discouraged, but not this paralyzed man. Let me tell you, he was determined. As his friends turned to start to carry him back home, he said, no, we're not going home yet. I'm not leaving till I get my miracle. This man understood that you are closest to your victory when you face your greatest opposition. I said you are closest to your victory when you face your greatest opposition. A lot of people would have given up. Oh, I tried. They told me no. I tried to get my degree. College was full. I tried to get that new home. They wouldn't give me a loan. I tried to get to Ascend Church. It's just too far away. Listen, you got to be more determined than that. You got to have a never say die attitude. You got to have an unstoppable kind of faith. If you can't get in the door, try the window. If you can't get through the window, why not be bold and go through the roof? That's what this man did. He went through the roof. I'm saying, man, don't stop trying. You are close to your victory. This man said to his friends, I got an idea. Take me up on the roof. Cut a hole in the roof and lower me down so I can have a front row seat in front of Jesus. Let me tell you, when there's a will, there's a way. I imagine these four friends of this man must have said, listen, brother, we love you, but you're crazy. How you expect us to get you up on the roof? That's impossible. Let me tell you, he talked them into it. They finally hoisted him up on that roof. Jesus was in the middle of his sermon. Suddenly, dust starts falling from the ceiling. People wonder what's going on. Then a tile comes off. Then another tile comes off. They lower this paralyzed man right through the roof, put him right in front of Jesus. And you know what the scripture says in Mark 2, verse 5? When Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith. That's my question for you today. Do you have a faith that can be seen? Are you doing something out of the ordinary to show God that you believe in Him? It's not enough just to pray or just believe. Like this man, you got to do something to demonstrate your faith. Because Jesus looked at this man and he said to him in verse 11, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went out in the presence of them all. They were all amazed and they glorified God. They said, we never saw anything like this before. Let me tell you, that happened because this man dared to do something where God could see his faith. Don't you know there were other people in that room that didn't get healed? Other people that had the same opportunity. But what was the difference? Let me tell you, the difference was this man put action behind his faith. And God is looking for those people who have this unstoppable kind of faith that He can see. Not just one that He can hear, but a faith that is visible. A faith that is demonstrated. Amen. You know, in 1991, I was working for Pastor Theo and Beverly Womerantz at Christian Family Church, Johannesburg. I was 27 years old. The Lord spoke to me to go start a church in Cape Town. I prayed, I asked the Lord to speak to Pastor Theo, and the Lord spoke to Pastor Theo. He confirmed it to me. We had many confirmations like that. I think Ed Trout was another one that confirmed it to us. But let me tell you, even though it was God's will for us to go start a church, nothing would have happened
if we hadn't left Johannesburg, moved to Cape Town, rented a building for the church, rented a house that we could live in, booked our kids into schools, arranged venues for our opening conference, handing out advertising, sold our home to buy equipment. All of those things are actions of faith. The same thing when the Lord told us to come to America and start a church in America. We came over, we rented an apartment. We started out with 8 people living in a little 3-bedroom apartment in Juno Beach. We rented the Palm Beach Gardens High School auditorium. We booked the EC Theater for a conference. We advertised. All of those things are acts of faith. Here's my question. Are you putting action to your faith? Do you have a faith that can be seen? In James 2, verse 17, it says it's the same with faith. If it doesn't cause us to do something, it's dead. If our faith doesn't cause us to do something, it's dead. I know people who love God and they're good people, but they're not living the abundant life. They're not overcoming their obstacles. They're not accomplishing their God-given dreams. Why? Because their faith is dead. They're not putting any action to their faith. So it's not activating God's power and God's favor in their life. And it doesn't always have to be a big action. Let me tell you, sometimes just putting a smile on your face when you feel like being discouraged is demonstrating your faith. Do you know just the fact you came to church today? That's a faith that God can see. Isn't it? You could be home resting, running errands. You could be working, but you took time to honor God. And God saw you get up this morning. He saw you get ready. He saw you get in the car. He saw you make your journey to church. That is putting action to your faith. That tells me your faith isn't dead. Your faith is alive. It's activating God's power. Your faith is allowing God to fight battles for you. Your faith is opening doors for the extraordinary in your life. And finally, I'm going to close with this. The last thing that will stop your faith is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will stop your faith. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus taught probably the greatest lesson about faith that I just quoted to you earlier, where he said that if you have faith, you know, in God, that you will say to this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, and if you don't doubt in your heart, you'll have what you say. Remember when I quoted that? That's Mark 11, verse 23. Listen to verse 25. Just 2 verses later, Jesus said, one moment he's talking about faith, the next minute, look what he says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, why did Jesus go from talking about faith to immediately talking about forgiveness? Because unforgiveness will stop your faith from working. The Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 6, all we need is faith working through love. Do you know that your faith works through love? Do you know that love is the power behind your faith? Faith works through love, and love forgives. So unforgiveness is the only hindrance that Jesus mentioned, so it must be important. If my faith isn't working, the first place I look, am I holding any unforgiveness toward anybody? And I forgive. No matter what anyone does to me, I will not permit unforgiveness in my heart. It is not worth it. It stops my faith. It's going to stop my blessings. It ain't worth it, honey. I don't forgive for your sake. I forgive for my sake. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, I just can't forgive. Listen, Jesus would never ask us to do something that we cannot do. He'd never ask us to do something we cannot do. Colossians 3:13 says, be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you. You must forgive others. Faith works through love, and love's forgive. Say this, I never hold grudges. Say it again, I never hold grudges. I forgive as God's forgiven me. Don't let unforgiveness stop your faith. Do you have a faith that is unstoppable, or can your faith be stopped? Because if you will get rid of fear, get rid of worry, get rid of doubt, stop focusing on your circumstances, what you see, what your senses are telling you, and be bold to speak your faith, refuse to allow anything contrary to that, if you'll put action to your faith, if you'll walk in love and forgive, then your faith will be unstoppable. All things will be possible. You will see amazing miracles happen. How many of you with me today? How many of you determined today, Pastor Steve, I'm not going to let anything stop my faith? Come on, how many of you say, I'm not letting anything stop my faith? In the name of Jesus, I'm going to walk in confidence before God. Say it with me. Say, I refuse to allow worry. Say, I refuse to allow fear. I resist all doubt. I will not waver. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to say what God says. I'm going to do what the Word of God says. I'm going to walk in love. I'm expecting miracles in my life. I'm expecting victories in my life. I am unstoppable. There's nothing impossible for me. There's no obstacle I can't overcome. If God is for me, what can stand against me? In Jesus' name, amen. Say, I got unstoppable faith. Come on, give God thanks and praise. I got unstoppable faith. When you got unstoppable faith, guess what? You're unstoppable. Amen? Did you get something out of this morning? Praise the Lord. I preached myself happy today. It happened again. I'm just the messenger. I get as much out of preaching God's word, and probably more than you do. I'm just simply telling you what God says. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why don't you bow your head for a moment? I want to pray for you. Just bow your head if you would. Thank you, Nate. While your head is bowed, while your eyes closed, Father, I thank you for every person here this morning, and I thank you for every person that's watching us online today. I pray for each and every person. I thank you, Lord, that their faith is growing. And I thank you, Lord, I pray that everyone watching and listening will have this unstoppable kind of faith. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to stand against fear, stand against doubt, stand against worry, stand against anxiety, stand against unforgiveness. Speak out our faith in God, not be moved by how it looks, by what we see. But Father, that we would just trust you, believe you, do what your word says, say what your word says. Because we know, Father, that's the key. Our faith is what gives us victory in every circumstance. I pray for each and every person, whatever they may be facing. I thank you, Lord, that through faith, they overcome every challenge, every obstacle. That through faith, they see victory, healing, provision, protection, restoration in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that faith is the only way to please you. And the more that we walk by faith and trust you, the more that we please you. While you have your eyes closed, I want to pray also. I want to pray for anyone who's here this morning. And you say, Pastor Steve, you know, I'm really not sure where I stand with God. I'm really not sure if all is right, if all is well between me and the Lord. Listen, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain, you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I can't say that I'm certain. I can't say that I know for sure. Let me tell you the good news. You can know that for sure. You can be certain. You can know that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us. There's a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but wherever you may be sitting, or if you're watching this online, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and the Lord. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, quickly, right now, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, I ask you just to lift your hand up high. Just raise your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. If you're watching us online, just wherever you may be, just raise your hand because the Lord sees it. He's with you. If you lifted your hand, will you please say this prayer with me? The Bible says in Romans 10 in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a Christian. That's how you can be sure that you're going to go to heaven, is by believing that Jesus died on that cross for you, that he rose from the dead, and confessing him to be Lord of your life. So say this prayer with me. If you raised your hand, or even if you didn't, everybody say this prayer. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much, you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth, to die on a cross, to shed his blood for me. You said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess, he is my Lord, you said I would be saved. So I do this today. I believe with all my heart, Jesus, you are alive. I ask you, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I receive you to be Lord of my life. I confess from today, Jesus, I will follow you. I will do what your Bible says. And I thank you. Say, I thank you. Because I have received you, I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everyone who believed it said amen and amen. Praise God. If you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you when we close the service in a few minutes, just remain seated where you are. We have one of our volunteers, servant leaders, going to come over and we have a gift for you before you go home. I also want to welcome all those that are guests here today and let you know that Jill and I always, we always come out in the lobby and we always usually the last people to leave, and we'd love to meet you if you can. We'd love to meet you in the lobby afterwards. But tell your neighbor, tell someone, I'm glad you were here today. Tell them, I've got unstoppable faith.
I have unstoppable faith. Praise God. Well, family, we're going to have the opportunity to give right now. And I just want to tell you, remind you of the different ways. There are envelopes right on the seats if you're here in the building. There are ways to give that will come up on the screen. The kiosk's not today, but all the others, we're just upgrading that computer in the kiosk. But for those of you that are watching, very simple. There's a link on Facebook Live. If you're watching on YouTube, just go to the website ascendchurch.us, and there are various ways to give to make it convenient for you. I can't say one more word about faith other than what we just heard, because my faith was so strengthened. How about you? Amen. But I did have two verses that I wanted to read on the same line when it comes to the area of finances. Because, you know, we face different challenges. Maybe it's a contract you believe in God for. Maybe it's you want to sell your house and get a certain price. Maybe you believe in God for an increase. Maybe you lost your job and you believe in God for a job. There's so many different things we face in the area of finances. And I want to encourage you to always use your faith. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, when it's talking about what Pastor Steve was saying, when the children of Israel got the promise from God to go into the land, he's like, go, I've given it to you. That was the promise to each and every one of them. And it says in Hebrews 4, verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So you see, just what Pastor Steve said, if we don't mix our faith with the Word of God in the area of our finances, we're not going to see the promises of God come to pass. Amen? Another translation says this, we have heard the message just as they did, but they failed to believe what they heard. So that's the first point. And the message didn't do them any good. So don't let the Word of God not do you any good. There's a lot of promises about finances. God wants to, if Jesus can say, don't worry about any of your personal needs. He said, don't worry about any of them. That means he's got it under control. Amen. But if for us to have the benefit of that, we have to mix our faith with it, right? And the verse after that, verse 3 in Hebrews 4 says, for those of us who believe, faith activates the promise. So today, as we give and tithe, we have so many faithful tithers and generous givers in this church. We are so thankful. We are so grateful that you partner together and to build this local church with us. The people that give online, that give recurring giving online, we are so grateful that you do it. And I encourage you, don't just do it. That's first step is do what God says, right? But the second step is mix your faith with it. Begin to speak like God's word is true. Say, I believe that Malachi, when God says, when I bring my tithe, the windows of heaven will be open above me. Then in the week when you think about it, say, thank you, Lord. The windows of heaven are open above me. You activate your faith by doing it. And then you activate your faith by holding on to the promises and speaking them. Amen. So right now, as you prepare to give, we thank you for that. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for every person, every family, every man, woman, child, every circumstance. You know You know every detail of our lives. Jesus, you said it. And Father, I thank you for doors of opportunity that open. We claim your word as true over our lives. You said, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your income, and your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow. I thank you for full barns, Father. I thank you for overflow in the lives of your people as they honor you by tithing and giving today. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, ushers. If you are a visitor today and you filled out that guest card, just drop it in to that bucket as it comes by. We appreciate it. Thanks.
Praise the Lord. Well, I want to say thank you to all of our servant leaders who served in God's house today, all of our volunteers who served in children's ministry and media and ushers. And why don't you give them a big round of applause? We appreciate you so much. Thank you for serving in God's house. We really appreciate that. And if you'd like to become part of our team and serve, come and talk to me or go online to Ascend Church, and we would love to have you involved. I want to encourage you as you leave today in the lobby, don't forget, take some of these invite cards. This is a great way when you meet someone, and you invite them to church, put this in their hand. It's got our address and our website and Sunday service time. I always keep these with me. They always come in handy, always inviting people to church. How about you? You say, well, Pastor Steve, it's not really the greatest time right now to be inviting people to church. I understand it, but yet you're sitting here. So I'm sure there's a lot of other people that will be sitting here too if they knew about it. Amen? Stand up with us today as we go. Come on, let's give one more. Let's give God some praise. Let's sing it out again. Lord, send revival. Come and stand up and sing with us before we go.
Lord, send revival all on the gates. Lord, send revival, open the gates.